Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
These guys have earnings coming up next week, and if they follow on the heels of that great report, this stock could see a very significant pop.
Then you got the labor. I mean, the labor here is tremendous. I mean, we got a deep group, and they do a great job.
So 15.3% is the number, which is alarming.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Welcome to Tuesday afternoon on the Wintrust Business Lunch. And the landscape in Chicago has altered dramatically in the past 90 minutes or so. Mayor Emanuel announcing he's not going to run for re-election. I know John Williams will be talking to Gary McCarthy a little bit later, Sharon Lightfoot as well, about this announcement from Mayor Emanuel. This would be a good time for John Najarian from CNBC to announce that he plans to run. John, are you in the race?
Sure.
That's it.
Wow, that you could have knocked me over with a feather with that one.
Yeah,
I can't believe that Rahm isn't running, but it certainly makes it anybody's race, I guess, going forward.
Well, it does that, and you know, the question now is whether or not others will get into the race, because you've got, I think, 10 or 12 candidates who are already filing petitions or collecting signatures, and you know, we'll see if Emanuel's absence draws in others. Okay, so the Dow, where are we now? The Dow was down about 100 points last time I looked, and from what I read, everyone is supposed to, wait a minute, is it now up 72 points, 22 points?
If it did just flip, I just walked outside.
Wow, I'm telling you, within the past 10 minutes or so, I think it's moved into positive territory. No, I had a bad read.
Wow.
I had a bad read on my computer. It's down. Sorry
okay,
about that.
Okay, I was going to say, I certainly didn't see that coming either, though. Apparently, there's lots of things that are going to blindside me today.
Somehow, I just got a page from 1962 on my computer. I don't know. But September now, is this one of those months? Do you pay attention to that? September usually isn't a great month for Wall Street, for trading.
I don't, but I would say that there are a couple of calendar-related trades that I do pay attention to. Stephen, one of them is that normally I'm a fairly aggressive buyer of retail going into Labor Day, and I normally hold those positions up until Black Friday, because traditionally retailers outperform during that period of time, of course leading into their biggest time of the year, which is Black Friday, and then more or less that's the time to take your profits and move on.
So if you had picked up Nordstrom last Friday, you'd be doing okay today, right?
Yep, did okay with that one, did okay with Best Buy. There's a whole bunch of them that look pretty good. Consumer spending is very strong. Consumer discretionary has actually been beating out technology, which had been the clear outperformer all year. And that's probably because consumers are feeling a little more in their pockets because of the tax cuts that just took effect in the late first quarter, early second quarter of this year.
All right, Nike is down today, and I'm interested in what you make of all this. Nike will be using Colin Kaepernick in its ad campaign, the Just Do It campaign. I think it's the 30th anniversary, which is amazing to me. Personally, I want to go out and maybe not spend the money for shoes or a shirt, but I'll at least buy socks to support Nike for this decision.
And I think it's going to be pretty split down the middle, probably, in the
well,
country.
Which to me is good for them. That shows real courage, and whether you're on their side or not, it's kind of ballsy to do that, especially knowing that you're going to take on the ire. I mean, of President Trump. I would imagine he hasn't tweeted on this yet, but I mean, what do you make of it?
That it is brave for them to do it. Retailers, or, well, not just retailers, but advertisers normally want to be right in the middle. They don't
right.
want to be on one side or another. So it is very brave. I would have picked a different, I mean, if I were going after somebody who said they sacrificed everything, I would have picked Pat Tillman, because I don't think Mr. Kaepernick sacrificed much. I think he made himself a target by what he did, and I think he was brave doing what he did. But I don't think he sacrificed anything, Stephen, even when San Francisco said you can talk to Denver, which John Elway said they did, he chose not to sacrifice giving up the money. He stuck with the money rather than playing football because Elway wanted to renegotiate the contract, of course, and Mr. Kaepernick, which I wouldn't have renegotiated either. I'm a capitalist just like he is. I think he didn't make such a great sacrifice.
Okay.
I don't get this part about sacrificed everything. He took home $45-50 million. I don't think that's a sacrifice.
I'll give you that. But for me, I'm looking at it from Nike's standpoint in that it will be a controversial decision and one that they're paying money to make. And it'll be interesting to see. Now, the stock is suffering today. I don't know what any long-term implication will be stock-wise or sales, but we'll have to wait for that. The president also had some comments about Canada, negotiating. I know the Canadian dollar is down today, but Donald Trump essentially saying that they don't need Canada in this deal. Is that having an impact on Wall Street?
I think any trade talk has more of an impact on Wall Street than almost anything else right now. Earnings have been strong, but they're near the end of the cycle, so we're not going to have as much driving the markets until we get back into the cycle in October. So right now, I think you're right that whether it's tough talk on trade, whether it's decisions like Nike's, I think those kinds of things can move markets more than anything else right here, absent any intrigue that goes beyond just 60% interest rates in Argentina. They're a real economy, but I don't think that they're as big a trading partner with the U.S. As candidates.
All right, we didn't really get a chance to talk about Amazon crossed the trillion mark a little bit earlier today. What are you watching today? What's your suggestion?
Well, we've seen a lot with, believe it or not, WWE. Just like, again, kind of full circle back to Nike, with the fans of sports in general tend to be rabid, and fan means, of course, it's short for fanatic. Certainly the WWE fans are fanatics, and that has really driven that stock higher all year long. I think that'll continue, and we saw big institutions pouring in, probably because of the new deals that they're striking for distribution channels for WWE events, and I think that's going to be a very positive thing. That and perhaps The Rock, coming, one of the biggest stars on earth, coming back and being part of one of their WrestleManias. Right. I think that also bodes well for them.
That's John Najarian from the Najarian Family Office. Watch him on CNBC. Follow him at John Najarian on Twitter. Nice to talk to you again. Let's do it next week.
Thank you, Stephen.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, here on 720 WGN. All right, it was just about, 90 minutes or so ago that we heard from Mayor Emanuel, where he announced that he was not going to run for re-election. And I bring that up because one of the more touching parts of the announcement was when he mentioned his grandfather. His grandfather was an immigrant, and he broke up a little bit talking about the courage that his grandfather showed in leaving Eastern Europe and coming here to the United States, and the breaks, the advantages that gave his grandson, Rahm Emanuel. So immigrants on the mayor's mind today. Ours too. We are joined on phone line now by Hannah Siegel. She's the managing director at New American Economy, and they're looking at the impact of immigrants in cities around the country. Hannah, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
All right, so tell me first, who are you guys, the New American Economy, and what's the motivation for this study of immigrant impact in the U.S.?
Yeah, so as you said, we are New American Economy. We are a research and advocacy organization thinking about immigration reform and how immigrants contribute to the U.S. We are completely bipartisan, so we work with people across the political spectrum. But, the core principle of our organization is showing how immigrants contribute to the community and to local economic growth. And so, we look at that across the board by industry, by state, state, nationally. We have a website, mapTheImpact.org, that shows all of this in a way where you can type in your address and you can see how immigrants are having an impact in your neighborhood. And so using census data from 2016, the most recent available, we've been analyzing immigrant contributions in metro areas across the country, including Chicago. And so we have some new data. It just went up on mapTheImpact.org. This is the first time that we're talking about it. So we really appreciate you having us on. And it shows a bunch of really impressive numbers, how immigrants contribute to the housing market, demographics, workforce, voting power, stuff like that. And,
if I'll recite just a few of the numbers, though, you've got 1.6 million, almost 1.7 million immigrant residents in the Chicago metro area. That's about 17.5% of the population. Taxes paid in 2016, $15.8 billion. Spending, $42 billion, which is significant money. I mean, it's a big economy here, but that certainly makes a significant contribution. The idea then is that these are people who should be embraced rather than shunned, encouraged rather than limited.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think, you know, what we find in the national conversation is that the economic angle often doesn't come out. And so part of what we try to do with the research piece of our work is really show how immigrants are helping to lift communities, really working with native-born Americans, of course, to lift communities and industries across the country. So that's what this new report is about.
And I was interested, too, we talk a lot about entrepreneurship on this show. We talk a lot about that. And an immigrant is more likely to be an entrepreneur in this country than a native-born American.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, if you think about it, immigrating to a new country where you don't necessarily have a really strong network or connections to get a job is inherently an entrepreneurial act. And so it's not that surprising in lots of ways that immigrants are more likely to be entrepreneurs. But entrepreneurship is really the engine that drives the economy forward, because entrepreneurship means jobs. And so we look a lot at entrepreneurship in different cities. We have a few stories from the Chicago area in particular on our website that talk about immigrant entrepreneurs' jobs that they're creating.
Hannah, we've got less than a minute, but one thing that did surprise me, I frankly always thought immigrants were better educated than native-born Americans. And I'm looking at your statistics for the Chicago area anyway, and it doesn't look like it's the case, right? That the native-borns, when it comes to high school or some college, 53% to 41%, a bachelor's degree, 24% native, 17% immigrants, and graduate degrees a little closer. But is that borne out across the country?
It's not. It actually varies across the country, and in some places it's flipped. But I think, you know, the important thing is that in a lot of metro areas, Chicago included, immigrants fill really key gaps in the workforce. So you can see that they're filling jobs in really key industries in Chicago, like construction and hospitality and manufacturing. And, you know, that's what immigrants do across the country in local economies.
Map the Economy. It's a really cool place to check out. Thanks for joining us today, Hannah. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. How much time do you spend commuting to and from work? There's a new map out where you can check out your hometown. See much. I think my average is from my zip code, like 58 minutes a day. And they looked at it and they said I spend 450 hours in my lifetime commuting. We'll kick those numbers around a little bit later, but it's lunchtime right now, so let's have a veggie burger. In the studio with us from MarketWatch.com is Carrie Paul, who's been out. You've been on with us before, haven't you, Carrie?
Yes, by phone.
By phone, first time we met. So you're in town for a wedding? I'm glad to see you here.
I am, yes. I love Chicago, so it's great to be here.
Have you ever mistakenly eaten a veggie burger thinking it was a hamburger?
I have not. I was once a vegetarian. I am no longer a vegetarian. So I have looked for veggie burgers and non-veggie burgers in my life.
But have you ever been fooled in picking up something that was not meat into thinking it was?
I have not, personally.
Right. All right. The witness can leave the stand. So you wrote this story about this new law in Missouri that's designed, I guess, to protect farmers who raise livestock. But if you now make a bean burger, can you still call it a bean burger in Missouri? Or tell me about this law.
So they don't want you using any terms that have to do with meat if it's not a meat, if it's not coming from a living animal.
Right, so breakfast sausage, you couldn't have tofu.
You couldn't call it tofu sausage, necessarily. The wording of the bill, it's very early, it just passed on Tuesday last week, and the wording of the bill is a bit broad, so they're not actually sure how it's going to be enforced, and that's what veggie producers are worried about.
The that's being sued, I think, is it the ACLU is suing, but also, is it the ACLU?
Yes, it's the ACLU, it's a few groups in Missouri.
But Tofurky is a big company.
They're part of the lawsuit, yes.
It seems to me like their company name violates the law.
Right, that's what they're worried about. They're not sure if Tofurky, the word tofu being at the beginning of right. it, is making it clear enough under the new law, so they're kind of worried about that.
Okay, so what is this about? Because I'm joked a couple times, but I don't think people are accidentally picking up a veggie burger thinking they're getting a hamburger. What's behind all of this?
Right, so the law, it's the way it's worded says it's meant to protect consumers from mistakenly purchasing right. meat that isn't real meat or meat as these meat producers see meat to be. But it's actually the critics are saying that it's meant to protect the cattle industry.
We're spending a lot more money on non-meat meat products, right?
Right. The number or the amount of money spent on meat substitutes in the last decade or so has risen pretty high. So
the numbers you wrote were $556 million in 2012 to $698 million in 2017. That's how much money we're spending on meat substitutes.
Right, and that can be everything from tofu to veggie burgers to bean patties, things like that.
I'm partial to there's a fake chicken sandwich that I like. I'm not a vegetarian, but for some reason I got into these chicken sandwiches. Although, see, I'm calling them chicken sandwiches, and they're not. That's
right.
The point.
You could go to jail for that in Missouri.
Also, I did not know this, that Kentucky Fried or KFC is now selling veggie chicken.
Yes, and White Castle also now offers a bleeding vegan burger,
well,
so it's actually juicy.
That sounds delicious, Carrie. I don't think I'm going to line up for a bleeding vegan burger.
Yes. And it's become a mass-produced thing now, so it's definitely on the rise. People are really looking for meat alternatives.
And again, so the Cattlemen's Association or the cattle producers, they're the ones who are concerned about this, but are they concerned about the veggie corn dog in the freezer section, or are they concerned about what might be to come?
It's more about what is to come. There's definitely some concern about lab-grown meat. That's an industry that is growing. There's been a lot of major companies that are seeing investments in lab-grown meat. And
can you explain that for me?
It's meat that is grown in a petri dish. So you can have an animal product without an animal being killed for it.
So they'll use like animal cells. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand it altogether either, but they'll use animal cells. And from that, they're actually able to grow a flank steak.
Right, exactly. And so no animals have to be killed in the process, which some people who are vegan or vegetarian for moral reasons, not for the taste or anything like that, would
right.
be willing to eat that when they aren't willing to eat a normal burger.
But it would be really bad for the Cattlemen's Association because they would be raising livestock then where their market could be supplanted by something that would imagine be more ecologically friendly as well.
Right, that is the concern, and that's what a lot of people think is behind this bill. Of course, they say that they want consumers to know what they're eating and not be duped into buying fake real meat.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sorry about that, but I laugh because it's just silly. I don't think people are being fooled into eating a fake burger. I understand their concerns when it comes to this lab-grown meat, but maybe they should have the discussion, give us a little more credit and say that's what it's about rather than the bean burger.
Right. We definitely don't have lab-grown burgers on the supermarket shelves yet. That's going to be a bit in the future, so I don't know if that's something they'll address when that comes around.
I did talk to a reporter for the Tribune a couple of years ago, and she has eaten the lab-grown beef and said it was delicious.
Yeah, I've heard it's very good, so...
Coming maybe soon to a burger near you? We don't know.
I've also heard great things about the bloody vegan burgers.
You have?
Yes. I actually tried one yesterday. It was the Beyond Meat burger. It's supposed to be juicy.
Are they a Chicago company? I think they are.
Yeah. I thought they were. I know they're based somewhere in the Midwest. I'm not sure
if
it's Missouri.
I think we've talked about them before. So you just made one and tried it?
I had one at a restaurant here in Chicago.
Really?
Yes.
And how was it?
It was great.
So
it tasted like beef.
So you had a cell-produced...
No, that wasn't cell-produced.
Oh, that's the...
It's the vegan one.
Right.
But it's supposed to be particularly real-tasting.
Oh, so that's one maybe we could be tricked into trying.
Yeah, could be.
All right, so Tofurky is suing, I think with the help of the ACLU. What's the disposition? Where are we on that?
So they filed for an injunction, and I think it has yet to be addressed. They filed that on Monday of last week, and the law went into effect Tuesday, so they'd file it before that.
Is Missouri the only one? Are they standing alone on this?
They are the first state to have a bill like this.
You know, are there others thinking about it?
I don't know if it's in the cards right now, although the ACLU is arguing that this is a slippery slope. It could be, you know, an attack on free speech if you're limiting what people can say on labels.
Let's call it a slippery pasture. We'll go with that. Carrie Paul, a reporter at MarketWatch.com. Great to see you. Welcome to Chicago. I'm glad
Thanks
you're here.
Thanks so much.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. One of the youngest billionaires in the world is Kylie Jenner of Kylie Cosmetics, one of the most in-demand brands in the cosmetic space right now. And they're bringing a little bit of Illinois into the mix. Kylie Cosmetics has exclusively sold their products through their website since their launch, but now Bolingbrook-based Ulta will start to sell products this holiday season. That's according to a release from Ulta and a tweet from Kylie Jenner last week. By the way, in case you haven't heard, according to Forbes, as of last year, this is a $445 billion industry. That's billion with a B. So let's go Ulta. But with good news usually comes unfortunate news, and this one goes out to all of those booking a flight soon. Chicago-based United Airlines raised their bag fees another $5 to $30 per bag after JetBlue started the price hike trend earlier last week. The second half of the year is usually the more profitable one for the airline companies, but more notably, fuel prices are on the way up, which means airlines have to look elsewhere for revenue. Time to pinch those pennies! I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much. Oh, you're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, right here on 720 WGN. All right, I was on this website, and it is telling me that I spend too much time commuting to and from work. The guy behind it is Alex Lauderdale, the founder and transportation analyst at educateddriver.org. Alex, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I got to tell you, I didn't need to go to a website to know I spend too much time commuting. What's this about?
So I didn't mean to depress you, but it's absolutely the case, well, at least based on the U.S. Census Bureau, that most or a lot of Americans are spending a lot of time in the car and a good portion of their life, up to 1.5 years if you look at it in terms of the state. So I know I spend too much time. I'm here in Houston, and I actually spend 120 minutes a day.
Wow.
Round trip. Yes. So.
Well, then, did you do this for yourself just to make yourself feel better?
I can tell you that it was one of the reasons I thought of putting this map together. And, of course, you know, we said waste. Some people, we've gotten feedback that, hey, I spend this as quality time for me. You know, I get sure. We all have different perspectives, but for me, I'd prefer to be at home with the family and spending time with them.
I'm looking, you've got Lake County, Illinois listed here. It says the average commute time is 58 minutes, which equates to 455 lost days in a lifetime. That's actually low for me. That's probably about... I can spend anywhere from 2 hours to 2.5 hours each day commuting back and forth. But I was going to say, you know, all seriousness, we do know that. So why are you putting this out, or what do you want us to do with this information?
Sure. So for me, ideally, and one of the reasons for the site is really to take a look at the overall driver experience, not only the driver experience, but also transport experience. So obviously there's various modes of transport, also from the perspective of, I guess you could say, being thought-provoking. For employers, they need to start thinking about, hey, is some telecommuting within our capabilities? Can we start? I mean, most people are mobile today in terms of their information. So obviously, if you telecommute or have scheduled telecommute, you lighten traffic.
Have they gone down at all? Have you noticed that the telecommuting is helping? Because you're right, it seems like a lot of people are working much in a much more flexible way now.
So I have not had an opportunity to actually look over the most recent years to see if I see any sort of, I guess it would be stagnation at this point, because you have population growth
right.
as well that's happening over that same period of time. I mean, I was looking since my father's birth, which was in 1943, population in the United States has ultimately doubled, right? So it was 160 some odd million at the time, and now we're at 330 million. So as you look at those types of things, it's almost like anything that we're doing is combating increase in traffic with the infrastructure that we have today.
Yeah, we keep moving further and further out. That makes it. I've seen studies where they say the better the roads are, the worse the traffic is, because it encourages people to move away, to move out of the city center. Alex Lauderdale is the founder and transportation analyst at educateddriver.org. Okay, Alex, I appreciate you joining us. And the one good thing about long travel times is people listen to the radio, and we're all for that.
Yes, I understand.
Enjoy Texas. We'll talk again.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.